Just to put a theological framework on what's going on, in Revelations 12, 11, it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So I want to share a bit of my story to overcome the enemy. At age 11, I saw a movie that I should never have seen in my life. And I saw a movie that was very, a little different than Melissa's movie, but it was the movie Scarface. And I grew up in a home. My father was the captain of correction on Rikers Island. My mother was a principal of a elementary school in Queens, New York. I grew up in a middle-class home, beautiful lawn. I mean, just a great, great community to grow up in. And then crack cocaine came busting through the city. And I remember seeing that movie. I left that movie with a dream in my heart that I wanted to be the largest drug dealer in New York City. Now, my mother never had that in her cards. My father never even thought of this. But they didn't realize the community was changing. I went to a predominantly all-white school in Bayside, which should have been the safe school. And how many of you know there's something called the law of attraction? So while I had that dream in my heart, one of my friends pulled me into the bathroom, pulled out some drugs that he stole from his mother. I'm sorry, from his brother, a drug that's hard to find now called mescaline. And he said, you know, you want to try it? And I gave him $3. I popped it. The hallway started to move. I said, I don't like this. But I said, I'll help you sell it. And then I went from mescaline to selling. After selling, we sold out of mescaline. We couldn't find it. Another girl had a pound of marijuana, started to sell marijuana. Then I said I wanted to sell crack, joined a team called the Supreme Team. This is the group that the movie called New Jack City is based off of. This is the movie, you know, where Officer Burns were killed. If you knew about New York, they murdered him. The boss that I worked for, when he went to jail, the murder rate in the entire New York City dropped in half. And what I didn't realize at the time was I was working for a serial killer. So I sold drugs. I got arrested around 13 times, broke my mother's heart, broke my father's heart. I mean, completely let my family down. But I was so arrogant. I thought I had a jail get free card because my father over and over again will pull strings. And there's a lot of pull strings in New York back then. Not now. Or I don't know, maybe. But back then for sure. And I just kept beating case after beating the case. And then the final last case, I was 16. I got out. I was walking my way down to my block. I controlled two or three different drug blocks at age 16. So I was aggressive on my goal, and I was reaching it. And as I was walking down the street, all these detectives surround me, and I just stood there. I said, y'all ain't got nothing on me. I said, I'm clean. What you gonna do? They popped open the car, pulled out a bag of crack. They walked up to me, put it on me and said, beat this case, Daylight. And that was the one time I was sort of innocent. Sort of. And I was sentenced to jail on Rikers Island. How embarrassed to be in the jail that my father was the captain of. Got out and I had a dream. I said, man, I'm done. I said, I'm finished. I'm done. This is it. I'm going to go straight. Any of y'all ever say something like that? So then I went and I started to fill out applications after application, and the only job I got was White Castles. See, in the hood, we call them murder burgers. If you want to clean your system, you don't need X-Lax, just get White Castle. And if you own White Castle and you happen to be watching, forgive me, but, you know, it's a testimony. So I remember I worked in there, and I mean, my mind, I have a very unique mind. So I'm watching the burgers go out. I'm counting the burgers that are going out. I'm looking at the stocks that are going out. I mean, I'm saying, man, while I was there that week, they must have made around $200,000. I mean, I was so excited to get paid because I knew my cut was going to be juicy. And when I got $75... all my manpower for $4 an hour. I said, oh no. I quit because I was making a G every few hours out in the streets as take home. Because this is the time where there were drug blocks. There was one drug block that I knew, not mine's, that made $150,000 a night. Because in Queens, you had rich people from Long Island in the upper middle class buying drugs. That's different than just welfare money. So I saw a lot of money. And then I remember I was with some idiots that told me, you know, they were just telling me, yo, man, what you doing is so beautiful. You know, I was getting my GED. I was selling drugs. They was like, yo, man, your lifestyle is gorgeous. You know, I was getting the new cars and all this stuff. And one day I had to report to my parole officer. So I walk in to see the parole officer. I sit down and I said, how you doing? I said, I'm doing great. I said, everything is beautiful. And she said, wow. I said, great. She said, I'll be right back. She walks out. She walked in and she handcuffed me. And I said, what's going on? She said, you have turned in 3 dirty urines for cocaine. And I said, I don't even use cocaine. She said, that's too bad. You're going to jail. And then when I was sitting there, I thought about it. How was the cocaine getting in my system? But it was like the TV show Breaking Bad, where I was cooking it and the cocaine was going in my pores. I didn't even know I had pores. So while I was sitting there, I started to slide the cuffs down. I stepped over 1 foot, stepped over. You ever did something you ain't believe you can do? I'm sitting there like, oh my goodness. So she walks in, didn't notice. Sat down in front of me. She said, are you ready to go to jail? I said, ma'am, no, I'm not. And I got up and started to run. I'm running. I was on the 5th floor. I grabbed and leaped down the flight of stairs. Boom, hit the bottom, rolled. I'm running. I could hear a mountain of cops chasing after me. I got out on the street of this street called Jamaica Avenue in Queens. Any of y'all ever been to Jamaica Avenue? I mean, this is packed like Times Square. I'm like, get out of my way. And I'm pushing, I'm running for my life. And I got into a barbershop, hid. The cops came, they searched, they're looking around. I had my friend come. He cut my handcuffs. You have to read. I got it in a book called Street God. And I'll tell you about that later. But it's too much to tell you. So I got away, got to my girlfriend's house. Let me just make it clear because she always wants me to let you know. It's not my wife. Okay? She would have never dated me. So I got to my girlfriend's house. The next day was Halloween. So I came up with an idea. I said, we got to get out of New York. And I know that they have checkpoints. So I told my girlfriend, I said, buy me a wig, buy me a dress, put on lipstick. I was the tallest woman in New York City. I got on the Amtrak train, went down to North Carolina. I got there. I finally hit my dream. I became one of the largest drug dealers in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. When I brought the corrupt New York mindset and work ethic to Winston-Salem, it was done. I mean, competition was crushed. So I'm down there, I'm making all this money. And then finally, I came against evil. See, I didn't know how real evil was. See, down south, there was a drug dealer who started to date this girl that was a witch. And now people used to laugh and say, oh, there's no witchcraft. That's not real. And every girl I knew that hung out with that girl lost their mind. So one day, he put that witch on me. And I'm driving in a car, and she drove past me. And I remember this fear just came all over me. I came up to New York City. Now, look how big New York is. She popped out from New York somewhere on 125th Street, grabbed my arm and did some twist. Next thing I know, when I drove back down to North Carolina, I completely lost my mind. I saw everything in a tone of red. I went over the kitchen sink and just started smashing the dishes with my fist. I was searching the house for a gun to kill myself while I was in my right mind trying to stop myself. But my body was doing things that I had no control of. And I want to tell you, Thank God for some praying people. Any of y'all ever seen a movie called War Room? In War Room, there was one person. In my story, there was three women. And they walked up to me and they said, can we pray for you? And I said, sure. What could these three elderly women do? So they said, well, come into the room. I said, all right. They said, come a little further. Next thing you know, they started pouring oil on their hand. I said, is this a fish fry? I mean, like, what's the oil? Then they said, come right here. I walked up. I mean, that woman leaped in the blood of Jesus. Bang! Started praying for me. I'm standing there. Oh, oh, oh. I mean, they're just going in. Next thing you know, I fall on the floor. Bang! Power of God is pouring on me. And I felt that evil presence just leave me. I mean, it just left. I remember I got up off the floor. I felt a peace I never felt before. I walked outside and I said to God, I said, I will never sell crack again, God. I said, I will never sell crack again. I'm just gonna sell marijuana because it's natural. I was thoroughly confused. So I started to sell marijuana. And I made more money than ever. And I used to carry my Bible and drug dealers would say, yo, how you doing so well? I would say, Jesus is blessing my marijuana business. I say, yo, man, this Jesus thing is off the chain. You're gonna make real money. Thank God I finally went to a church. A youth pastor broke down Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. The word sorcery is a Greek word that's called pharmakia, where we get the word pharmacy. And he broke this whole down and I quit. I was like, I'm done. And then one of my friends came up with an idea and said that he was gonna come and rob me and murder me. And I remember hearing a knock at my door, boom, boom, boom. I opened the door and I walked out. One of my friends was standing there, whose brother was killed about a week later. And he walked me around the side of the house. And when I got to the side of the house, he was standing there with one of my worst enemies. Now, during that time, 30 of my friends were killed in this vicious drug war. And I was the boss, so I knew this now was my day to die. And then I just remembered a verse that I read before going out the door that says, do ye have little faith? And I said, God, I have faith in you. I have faith in you. So I walked out. And I remember my friend pulled out the pistol and pointed it at my head. And I just stood there and all I could say was Jesus. And I felt a real peace come over me. And every time I saw a tear go down his eye and I knew it was about to happen. When he thrust forward, I could feel when he pulled the trigger, I could hear the pin hitting the bullet, tink, and no bullet came out. He clicked it, pulled, tink, 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 and I'm standing there. By the power of Jesus, no bullets came out of that gun. Now, the only difference between me and my 30 other friends was I had an encounter with Jesus. If you want to know what will change your life, it is Jesus. I was facing 7 years for that escape charge, came up to New York City, turned myself in, started preaching in the jails, went before the judge, and the judge looked at me, looked down, looked at me. She said, something just ain't right here. She said, the pictures that I'm looking at and the man that I'm looking at today look like two different people. She said, I'm afraid if I send you back to jail, you'll become who you used to be when I want you to be who you are today. She said, you know what? I'm gonna do something I've never done. She said, I am gonna release you and I was pardoned from 7 years in jail. I say that to tell you, you may have a friend, you may have a family member, you may have somebody, I'm telling you, Jesus is bigger than this justice system. Jesus can do whatever he wants to do. And from that point on, I just started to surrender all to Christ. And I prayed the prayer, one of the most powerful prayers that I want to pray with you at some point in this service. I turned to God and I said to God, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, I said, if you make it clear that it's you speaking, Jesus, I am yours. Now, let me tell you something cool that came down the pike. After praying that prayer, I met my wife at a mega church in Queens, and we started to go to church together. And she told me, she said, I found this flight and I found this ministry that you can smuggle Bibles to China. I'm like, smuggle? I mean, I was hyped. I was like, you mean I can do this for Jesus? For Jesus? So I started stuffing Bibles all in my body, getting them across the border to the persecuted church. And I mean, I was having incredible success. And then one time I had this crazy leader. Any of y'all ever come across a crazy leader? Oh, they exist. It was one of these people. He just all in my face. You need to submit. You need to submit. I'm like, submit? He was like, I want you to put your Bibles in a bag. I said, I'm a 6'6 black man in China. You want me to be with a little wheelie car? I said, they're going to stop me. No disrespect. I said, you white, they ain't bothering you. They're going to stop me. So I go across the border. He walks by with his bag, looking like a businessman. They don't bother him. Somebody else goes by, and there I go. I'm walking, and they say, you, come here. So I tried to ignore. They said, no, you come here. I put my bag on the scanner. It went through. I'm praying for a miracle. I mean, I heard Hudson Taylor miracles. The hand of God disappeared the Bibles. I mean, I'm praying. They opened up that bag and the Bibles were there. So the guy grabbed the Bible, put it in my face. He said, do you read Mandarin? Do you read Cantonese? I said, no. He said, whose books are these? No, I ain't no snitch. I said, they're mine. He said, all of them? I said, they're all mine. So then I started to get surrounded. And one of them asked me a question. He said, how tall are you? So I got New York slick mouth. I said, I'm as tall as Michael Jordan. He looked, Michael Jordan! Michael Jordan! I started to just shake hands. I started waving. I walked right out of that place. I said, I'm out of here. Out of here. Folks, I wish I could tell you more, but I am grossly beginning to be out of time. But I want to tell you something that's going on. This book right now has spread all over the jails, all over. I get letters from all over the country. And what we're doing this month is everyone that purchases a book on streetgodbook.com, we're giving one to an inmate in jail. That's what we're doing, to sow back and sow back so people can come to know the Lord. But I want to tell you this. One of the most dangerous things that I have ever done is prayed that prayer. I believe God is not looking for extraordinary people. I believe God is looking for ordinary people that would say, come in, Lord. My life belongs to you. I prayed that prayer. I'm telling you, I've just seen God do so many things. The testimony I said to you, I said to 90,000 people with Billy Graham. I'm a coordinator for pastors all over this city. I'm telling you, when you surrender to Jesus and you are willing to go, God will pour through you and in you. The Bible says that Jesus says, we have been crucified with Christ. We are a new person, meaning you have to die and let God pour on you a brand new life. Stand up with me for a minute in this room. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just believe right now there's some of you in this room that God used to pour into you and you used to fast and you used to pray for hours a day. You were going after God, but somehow you just got stale. You just got a little stale. And I want to see that fire. I believe God sent me to ignite a fire into some of you. That if God is not dead like the film, it's time that we act like it. If God is not dead, it's time that we act like it. And I believe there's some of you here that just for the first time, it's time to surrender all and just say, God, here I am. I surrender all to you. If you're ready here today to give it all to Jesus, we don't have a lot of time. I need you to come and meet me at this altar right now. And we just want to pray a powerful, loose anointing over you. Come right now. If some of you are there, I can feel you saying, should I go? Should I not go? That's you. God is calling you. Come, 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 come. I'm telling you, God wants to light something in you. Come, 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 come. There's a moment where God wants to release something. And sometimes we're still caught up in old Christianity, commercial Christianity. Jesus wants to do something fresh today. Fresh. And it's time to give it up. Oh. Oh, God is moving right now. He's moving on someone right here. Come, somebody, pray for this woman right up here in the front. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's going to pull some stuff out of some of you. He's going to set himself right back on the throne. Jesus is on the throne. Jesus is the King. Jesus is Lord. We're not playing church in here. I'm talking about the power of Jesus. I want you right now, begin to call Jesus into your heart. Begin to call him into your life. Begin to say, Father, I am done with normal Christianity. I am done, Lord. I'm not just going to have a little bit of Jesus. I want all of Jesus in me. I want to surrender all of myself to you. I want to give myself to you. And if you're here for the first time, right before we get into this worship, I want you to repeat after me, and it's okay if you want to pray this prayer as well. Say, dear Heavenly Father, come into my life. Lord, I'm a sinner, and I want to be set free. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, rose again on the third day for my sins and the sins of this world. And through this confession, I am saved. I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Father God, I just pray your hand to be strong over each and every person at this altar, God. I pray, Father, that they would not walk out this place the same, God. I pray, Father, that they would let someone know if they gave their lives to Christ, God, so that we could be spiritually responsible to help mature them in Jesus. And Father, those that are here to rekindle their flame, God, Lord, I challenge them to go deep in prayer. I challenge them to walk with their Bible and to read their word faithfully. I challenge them to tell people about the glory of Jesus. I pray, God, that they'll return back to their first love, like in Revelations chapter 2, 1 through 5, where you challenge us, God, to return and repent back to the things that we used to do when we were at our best with you. I pray blessings over this church. I pray blessings over the leadership. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.